Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
Y'all, how's it going?
Hey.
Welcome everyone to the latest live episode of Goose Chicks Podcast. And this is a really special episode because we are starting our special Gonna Turn It Up Some series, where we're going to be talking with some amazing bands about their music, about the music scene. And we're super, super excited because you just heard from our first guest ever on our Gonna Turn It Up Some series, Houseplant. So we're so excited. We're going to be talking with Tommy and Tavis from Houseplant in just a few minutes. That was Monstera. You can listen to on their YouTube. We're going to be sharing a ton of information about them and talking to them all about Houseplant and all the other things. But before we bring them on, I just wanted to talk with y'all. How are things going for everyone? Lex, how are you doing? I know you had a little fire action at the homestead today. You doing
all yesterday. Oh my goodness. It's been the same day that happened. My 10-year-old or almost 10-year-old dog had a seizure. And so it has been eventful. I'm just happy that all of us are here and alive and we have good music coming and in store. So very excited to be with you ladies today, especially after all the stress that has happened with you ladies and with everyone. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, Chelsea. Chelsea and I yesterday recorded an episode that's going to drop in like 2 weeks about with some interviews that she did at summer camp, and we had so much fun. It was just the two of us, and we got to giggle and laugh, and we had some really great interviews. And then we're going to be talking with Hannah and Chelsea a little more in depth about their experience at summer camp. So I'm really excited about that. But how are you two doing?
Good. I'm just getting back in the swing of things, but I'm excited for the series. I'm like, I've been waiting for this to start, so I'm super excited to talk to the guys from Houseplant.
Same. We dreaming up stuff, and then when it comes to fruition, I'm like, holy crap, it's really happening. All right. Yeah. Before we bring Tavis and Tommy on, without a literally, I don't know how this always happens, but Goose seems to always have some breaking news when we're going live. And so just a few minutes ago, about an hour ago, Goose announced that they're live at Radio City Music Hall. Both nights drops on streaming tonight at midnight. And the release will expand the entirety of the two-night run at the historic venue last June. And also stay tuned for details on a limited edition vinyl box set dropping tomorrow on their web store at 12 p.m. Eastern. I'm already broke, but Goose doesn't care about that. You can go to gooselink.to/RCHM to set a reminder for the midnight drop of the two shows. I know night two is already on YouTube, but this will be everyone's first time to get high quality versions of both shows. So very exciting. So I just wanted to share that with everyone out there in Gooseland. But without further ado, let's bring the stars of the show on here. Tommy and Tavis, how are y'all doing? Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Hey. How are y'all doing?
We're good. So for those who don't know, which I don't know how you couldn't, but just in case you don't, Houseplant Band's unique sound is characterized by an electric mandolin lead, deep rhythmic grooves, rich sonic textures, and patient collaborative jams and improvisation. Since their debut in May of 2021 in Louisville, they have been packing venues with at-capacity crowds and cultivating a growing buzz in the larger jam band community around the country. Houseplant keeps crowds on their toes with hips shaking, feet moving, head swaying, souls fed, and mind blown. And we are lucky enough to be joined tonight by Tavis, who is vocals and electric mandolin, and Tommy, who plays bass for Houseplant. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so excited to talk to y'all because I know about you. I like met you all as people first and then as a band, which was a unique experience for me. I haven't had that experience before. And so it was like watching y'all play. I was like, oh my God, my friends are up there. And then I was like, holy crap, they're so good. Oh, like low-key took my breath away on New Year's this year. So I'm really excited. I'm sure lots of folks in the Goose community feel the same way. You're like ours a little bit. So we're so excited to have you here. So how has the start of summer been going and what have y'all been up to?
It's been great so far. Playing some shows, writing some new tunes. Yeah, booking some shows. We have some cool things coming up we're excited about. So, yeah, it's been going well.
I love it. So I have to start off with extreme congratulations on your well-received, and I mean rave review, appearance at Dome Fest just a few weeks ago. How was the festival experience for you all as artists? I mean, it's a whole different ballgame, I'm sure. And so I'm curious, like, what was that like for y'all?
It was awesome. You know, like Legend Valley is such a cool place. We've been there several times for other events. And the fact that we got on the lineup, I was completely thrilled and stoked about. And yeah, so we get there and of course, Laura and Steve was there and Kenny and all, and like, yeah, they treated us so well. And we had, a group of friends there already and they were in VIP. And then there were some of the band and then some others that had GA camping, and they just escorted us right up to camp with all our friends. And yeah, they treated us so well and they, you know, gave us a bunch of food passes and yeah, treated us extremely well. So
I love that. I love it. Lex, you're muted if you were saying something.
Oh, I'm just so excited. Like that's just so awesome to hear. I feel the same way that Leslie felt, you know, you see your friends or you hear about your friends playing a music and sometimes they're great and sometimes they're not. And when the first time I saw y'all play, let's just be honest, you know,
sometimes one people's noise is not your noise. So it's not even necessary, right? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, thank you. Hannah always like, you know, it just comes out of my mouth. And so thankfully for all these ladies, like, you know, they help my wording because I'm just honest the way it is. And but when I saw y'all the first time, I looked over at Jason and I was like, oh my gosh, they are really good. This is not just friends, you know, pumping up other friends to come out. Like, y'all are really good. And so excited that y'all have more content online. I'll just all of a sudden, like, come out of the bathroom or come out of somewhere in a different room in the house. And all of a sudden, like, you know, there goes Houseplant blaring on all the speakers in the house. And so y'all are really good. I'm not just saying that. Oh, Jason put it on, and Ara and Sky will put it on there.
Nice.
You know, but Jason's got it jamming and he's like, Alexius, look, you can get it here. And I'm like, sweet, you know, because it definitely was hard, me being in North Carolina and not in Louisville, to get, you know, y'all's content, and love hearing it. So I'm very excited that we can hear more of it. And for all the Goose fans, definitely get your tickets. Are y'all sold out for that show? I've been
pretty
working.
Big venue.
Is it? That's what all right. Yeah, that's awesome. So,
you know, when we did the after show for the New Year's run at Madison Live, that was 350 capacity. And Mercury Ballroom's like 900. So it's quite a bit bigger. Oh, so
that's good, because I couldn't find a ticket New Year's Eve after party.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Exactly. So many people went home. So this is going to be, once they figure out, you know, hey, we can get tickets, because I think that was a big thing that people were worried about, you know, is that, oh, we couldn't get a ticket here. It was sold out. And that place was jam packed. So get your tickets, you know, they're available. It's not like New Year's where it was harder to get them. So,
and that one, you had to walk across the bridge, and it was a little hike to get there. And this one, you just walk out of the palace and it's right next door. So
nice.
Hopefully that works out for everybody.
I love it. So we'd be remiss if we didn't ask directly, like, tell us a little bit, what is the Houseplant origin story? How did you all form? And also, where did your name come from?
You want to start? You go for it. I've been talking too much already.
So Tavis, I got to know Tavis through his brother. I work with his brother. And we kind of knew each other for a few years, but didn't, I'm kind of a quiet guy, and I don't think he knew I even played music when we were hanging out.
We would get together and watch Kentucky basketball games, and Tommy would come over, wouldn't say a word, and we'd watch the game, and he would leave. He would never say anything. And yeah, I didn't know he played music. And then one day, Ben and I, my brother Ben, we were just jamming after a game. And Tommy hopped on a guitar or a bass or something. And I was like, wow, this guy's really good. But anyway, sorry, I've taken over your conversation.
The my first memory of kind of the band starting was honestly a text message from Tavis that kind of sounded like he was asking me out on a date or something. Like it was this sort of like, Tavis has been in the Louisville scene for quite some time doing all kinds of different genres and different instruments and all that. And then he felt the need, and I guess it was early COVID or right before it. So I guess that was late 2019, early 2020. He felt the need to, he wanted to kick something off and start something original. So he took a chance on me, and yeah, we started writing music and, yeah, kind of just getting to know each other and feel each other out. And then the rest of the band started to kind of fill in after that.
But before that, the pandemic hit, and we had to put everything on hold. But yeah, we got a month or two of writing together before we hadn't added any of the other pieces yet.
We were just jamming in the garage. I mean, we were kind of outside even, just socially distant. We didn't really know what to, no one knew what COVID was really at the time. We just, we played it safe and stayed outside and did all that. And just at that point, it was just fun. We were just kind of having fun with it. Didn't know what was going to come of it. And then, things kind of like songs started to form and, cool cover ideas started to come to the surface. And then we thought maybe we should add some more musicians. Mike, the guitar player, was next. Who was after that?
Well, we needed a drummer. Yeah. And Mike was like, I know a drummer. Yeah. He just moved to town. He's been living out in Kansas City or Phoenix or wherever. Jeremy's lived a million different places, but he just moved to town. He's like, actually, he lives like two blocks up the road. Jeremy lives like super close to me. And I was like, well, call him up, see if he wants a jam. So he came over, and that's where we got Jeremy. And then I've known Chris, the keyboard player, for quite some time. He plays in another band here in town called Electric Garden. And we took a road trip up to Deer Creek one year to see Phish together. And I didn't know Chris all that well, but like I knew, like I'd hung out with him some and had heard him play enough to where I was like, I'd like to get him in on the project. So I sent him the same text, you know, like, you want to go out on this date with me? You know, like, and well, really what these texts said is an original project takes an enormous amount of time. It's not just like playing in cover bands where like the template of these songs are already there.
Right.
It's like, you gotta woodshed these songs and like find out all the parts, what's going to happen. It takes a long time to work up an original song. So I was like, I know you're in another band and I don't know how much time you have, but I would like to play with you if you're interested. And he said, yes. So
nice. And so when did you so it sounds like you got all the pieces together. Was it always called Houseplant? Like, where did that come from?
It was not always called Houseplant. I think there wasn't a name for quite some time.
Yeah. Kind of struggled for a while.
Yeah. I think the band probably, I think we took advantage of COVID and no shows and things like that. That allowed us to, we kind of kept quiet and kept to ourselves and worked on the songs. I think it's very easy to get in a new band and get excited and eager and just start playing shows. And I think there's nothing wrong with that either, but it allowed us to really tighten everything up. And so I would say the first year, we didn't play a show, right? For a year.
No, no.
And I obviously a name formed in that first year, but it definitely, it took a while. I don't know where it came from or. It's easy because of the plants. We're surrounded by plants, so that helped. I don't know if that was the main reason or not, but we're kind of surrounded by them.
It was twofold or even more than that fold. Like, yes, I love plants. I have a whole bunch of plants around here. But also, during the time of COVID, everybody was planted at their house. So it was house plant. We were all house planted.
So. Oh, that's so smart.
I like that. I love it.
Oh, love that. Look at that tinker going. What was it that we were saying in Chicago? And now you're thinking. So that's so cool. And so for everyone, I know a lot of people ask us at shows, we have like, Dan's awesome about always having his in, but you'll see like these little green sprouts. And so sprouts, that's yeah. Little sprouts. We're little sprouts fans of, we're sprouts of houseplants. So when you see those now, you'll know, oh, they're houseplant, you know, houseplant fans as part of the houseplant fam or group.
At summer camp, I saw that. On hat.
Well, you don't know how many people I introduced to houseplant at summer camp because they're sprouts. And I was like, is houseplant? And they were like, no, they just like the plant part. But now they know about houseplant.
We can't fully claim all the sprouts.
But I did go up to them like, houseplant, what? And so now they know about houseplant.
Oh, nice.
So,
well, thank you.
Also, shout out to Zach. I think he's on here.
I
saw someone at summer camp with a houseplant shirt. I was headed up to them to say nice shirt, and it was Zach. So Zach's out there representing.
I kind of have a question about when you were all talking about writing music, because I know we've talked a lot on the show about like how Goose evolved a lot during the pandemic, and you were talking about like fine tuning everything and songwriting. So my question is like, is the songwriting process, was it different for you during the pandemic compared to now? Or like, if you can elaborate maybe on that, I don't know. As a non-musician, I think it's cool to hear how people write music.
Yeah, no, good question. I would say the first group of songs, honestly, was probably just a backlog of originals that Tavis had. I mean, he was the one that kind of initiated the thing, so he already had originals. And I think still to this day, we're kind of fine tuning those. We're 3 years down the road, and that's how I'm the pickiest one, I think, in the group, and constantly kind of pick apart songs. And we're still working on some that he showed me 3 years ago. But I would say the first year or so was probably working up those group of originals, picking out a few covers and things like that, just to kind of build a repertoire for us to even play a show. Let's see, how has it changed since though? I think, it's still kind of the same. I would say Tavis and I are the main songwriters. We bring, kind of the first original ideas to the group and then see where it goes from there. A lot of times the song will, it can develop slowly, or we know we can show it and then next week we have it. There's kind of no rhyme or reason to it, honestly.
Some songs take off a lot quicker than others. We have one song that I think, if it was not the very first song that I showed you when we first started getting together, it was, one of the first couple.
What's that?
Flames.
Yeah. Okay.
And, it's been through so many like different makeovers, and it's been over a year since we played it now. So like we played it out and we were like, it needs this. And so we completely reworked it and played it a couple times with this new makeover, and it's been on the shelf for over a year now. So I don't know, some kind of take off, and then some it just kind of sits around, and we think it needs some polish. But to your question, Hannah, like one thing that we thought we were going to do when the pandemic hit, I bought this little recorder because we had already started working on songs. I bought this little interface that we weren't going to be getting together face to face. So I was like, well, I can record songs on here. Tommy lives right up the road. I can go put it in his mailbox. He can get it. He can add his ideas. He'd send it back to me. I thought that's how we were going to write songs. It never took off like that, because we got about couple months in and we realized that the world wasn't going to end, and like we didn't have to like scrub down our groceries when we came home. We still had to take it serious, and like we had to get together out on the patio is what ended up happening. Sure. But we thought that was going to be the way for a minute.
And, yeah.
It's so interesting you had this like incubation period like sort of thrust upon you.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting just to see what people did with that time. But also I imagine it was just a place where like creatively your mind was able to be a little freer because there wasn't much else to do, right? Sure. During that period.
Yeah. There was zero pressure to play a show.
Yeah.
Which meant there was zero pressure to rush a song too, yeah. which I think was probably really good for us as a new band. Mm-hmm. And I think it certainly forced us to learn to play together. I think, which,
yeah, had the pandemic not happened, we probably would have had three or four originals and been ready, itching to play a show and supplemented with a bunch of covers. And maybe we would have been known as like some band that covered whatever song or whatever. But no, it allowed us to work up all our original songs, which I think was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's the man's song?
I was going to say, I love that. I love when people find the blessings of COVID because, yes, it stopped us a lot, but then it also brought us a lot of great things, you know, when we look at it and the time that it took. And also, my little daughter brought me down. I got her to
see it in the
camera. Oh, yeah. The nice. Little sprout. And so we just put it in our hair and wear it.
Yes. For those who don't know, fans of Houseplant are called succulents, which I think is the cutest thing ever. It's so awesome. I love, love, love it. So what are some of the musical and artistic influences that y'all, you know, drew from, especially during the incubation period as you're sort of trying to gel and figure out what is the Houseplant sound and all of that?
Yeah. Do you want to answer
that?
Well,
it's such a loaded question. Like it's so hard to just, you know, list them all. I think what makes the band special, thanks, Stephen. it's probably cliche to say we all listen to all kinds of music and all the genres, but we kind of do. And I think the band brings a lot of different, you know, flavors and all that stuff to the group. I don't know. I mean, if we want to name names, I'm sure we can. I don't know if you were going somewhere.
Yeah, we all have our favorite bands, and I think if you ask all five of the members of the band, you'd probably get four unique answers from each of us, and there might be one overlapping band, and that band's probably Phish. I would say out of the five members, that's probably our most common band that we reference in band practice.
I mean, and going back to the start of the pandemic, their Dinner and a Movie series, over here every week watching a Phish show.
Love it.
So that was always fun. So we got to, you know, just kind of bond over that, not just write music and plan. It was just, we got to sit back and also watch. Phish without a doubt is always up there.
For
many reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Grateful Dead.
Sure.
And, but I was thinking about this earlier. And not as your personal favorite or my personal favorite or anything like that, what band would you say that Houseplant sounds like? Like what?
Ooh. Oh, man.
Good question.
Is there an actual answer? Are you quizzing me?
Well, I have one that I think we kind of fit in their little.
Wait.
I don't. That's well, kind of
James Brown. Answers? James Brown.
I was going to ask Tavis to like write down his response.
And then you can tell me
it's like the dating game.
Yeah.
It's an extension of that text, you know? It's like yes, tell me out, and now you're going to test your knowledge. Yeah. I'm going to put that in the back of my mind, Hannah. We might need to do that with some guests.
Yeah, that's a good question. You have an answer, so what is it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll do the little dating game challenge.
When asked about y'all, I definitely say Allman Brothers a lot because I get that vibe, or I felt that vibe, you know, especially seeing y'all live. That's just my small opinion that I got that vibe from y'all. And when I listened to the show.
And aesthetically, I feel like, you know, you guys have the beards and the hair.
Well, I think, Mike.
They're just awesome.
That's Mike's fault.
It's Mike's fault.
Mike, the guitar player, you know, like he's he loves the Allman Brothers, and I think what happens is Colleen brought us pen and paper.
Yay! Thank you, Colleen.
Yes, Colleen.
Let's see what
you were talking about, Mike, and
yeah, and oh yeah, so the electric mandolin. And, all right, so I have a regular eight-string mandolin. It's four notes, four strings doubled, so it ends up being eight strings. And that's the smaller of my mandolins. But then I've recently got a newer mandolin. It's five strings, it's octave, and it sounds a little more like a guitar. So Mike can be soloing, taking some lead lines. And if I do, and I'll do that some, I'm more of the rhythm player. Mike takes much more of the solos and lead. But sometimes when he is soloing, I will throw in some licks behind him as opposed to just like playing rhythm or chords or anything. And I think that's where the Allman Brothers sound comes in. You know, they'll have the twinning guitars, the two lead lines going at the same time. I can see where you're coming from with that for sure.
Good call.
Great breakdown of it.
I love that. And now I'm like, ooh, we get to see the new mandolin in Louisville.
Jared.
Jared from Mr. Please. I love y'all's support that, you know, I just love both bands. Y'all are both amazing.
They got a big show. So the day after our Thursday show, they got one on Friday.
And
so
they also are going to be the next Gonna Turn It Up Some guest. So
sweet.
He's coming up. It's going to be really cool. Excited for folks to hear that. So a sneak peek for everybody there. What's up, Jared? Okay. So, you know, as a jam band, you know, you have this ability to take your audience like on a unique musical journey every time you step on the stage. This is just, you know, for all the four of us, that's one of the things we love about jam bands is that every show is different, even though it's the same songs. And so how do you all like gauge the energy and the like vibe of the crowd to help guide the improvisations? Or are you mostly locked in with each other? I've talked to musicians and I think different bands approach it differently. They're very locked in with each other only. And some really depend on the crowd to kind of move things along. So where do y'all fall on that spectrum? Is it like half and half? And how have you developed that over time once you did start playing live shows?
Is this a you or a me?
Go for it.
I'm forming some thoughts.
All right.
I don't know if you've got something. I mean, I would say this probably sounds selfish, but it starts with the band. I mean, that's who I need to feed off first. And, you know, I'm there to play music with them. The crowd is an extra bonus. It's impossible to ignore the crowd too. The energy they bring definitely encourages us and, you know, keeps me invested. That's for sure. But you know, I don't know if I've had an experience yet where there's, the crowd has kind of taken me somewhere differently. Whereas it definitely starts with the music, and that's my answer. Maybe you have a different one, but,
I mean, it definitely does start with the band, but, I mean, the crowd plays such a huge part, whether it's like, you know, a small venue like playing at Melwood Tavern or Stanley's up in Cincinnati, small rooms and, you know, the crowd's just right there in front of you. You know, like I mentioned Stanley's when we played up there, it was a great crowd, very energetic and, you know, like it definitely influenced us. I think it's a great thing, you know, to feed off that energy. But at the same time, like there were some points where Tommy and I kind of analyzed after the fact. And I believe that like when you're playing music live in front of an audience, you shouldn't really be analyzing too much. You shouldn't be analyzing what you're doing. You should just be in the moment. And then you can go back afterwards and analyze and see what you could have done better or whatever. But at Stanley's, I think we got quite energized by the crowd and you kind of hear it in the music, which everybody, you know, seemed to love the show, but if we were picking, you know, getting picky about it, I think we did get a little bombastic, maybe, you know, like this is just like us analyzing after the fact.
Sure.
But yeah.
We got a good, not to cut you off. There's a friend of ours named Tom. I'll shout out Tom. And I tell Tom after every single show that he makes, no matter the size of the room we play, he makes it feel so small and intimate because he's so loud and so energetic. And I tell him every single time that it's impossible to miss Tom. And I kind of look for him. It sort of calms me down, maybe even. Makes me feel good. So,
aww.
Yeah, I
Uncle
mean,
Tom, calming down.
Tom is amazing. He's a great guy.
He is. I love him.
On the other end of the spectrum from like Stanley's, when we played the Dome Fest set, you know, it was a big stage. It was a big, you know, festival area. There was a great crowd there, but there was plenty of space for everybody. So everybody was kind of had their own little area going. And I looked out in the crowd and I saw so many of our friends that made the trip up and then so many new faces. And like I had a great time looking at the crowd and it meant a lot to me. Great time looking out there. Our friend Sean, like I caught eye contact with him several times during the set and he was having such a good time and like it really was moving. I mean,
I love it. So sweet. Yeah. Lots of love for Tom Hart in the comments, for sure. Yeah. And shouting out Tom as well. And Tommy, I think your dad's in here, so say hi.
He's, yeah. What's up, Dickie?
Excellent. Go ahead, Alex.
Even though Tom's not a part of the band, like the band family around are also very important. And
absolutely.
But when you meet, I call him Funkle Tom and like for fun, Uncle Tom. And he's just amazing. And his smile just brightens the whole room. He's got an amazing smile. He's an amazing spirit. So
yes,
that's so sweet to hear you, Tommy, say, you know, like he calms
yeah, I mean,
me down.
We'd and, be remiss not to shout out the crew, honestly. You know,
sure.
I think like, yeah, okay. Sure, it starts with the music and all that. But like we've talked about how the fact that we don't have to worry about kind of logistics sometimes or something as simple as an Instagram post or like social media, like we don't have to worry about that is so awesome. I'm not even on social media. I don't do that. So it's like tiny little things like that. The web from Rachel, like Colleen and all that is huge.
Colleen is...
Yeah.
It's, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Someone
No. I feel silly doing this. Like I'm like, we're the faces of the band. There's so many more people than just us that make it work. So.
Of course. I love that. And also, you know, so often with bands, like the first contact that people have with the band is not the artist themselves.
Sure.
It will be, you know, Noah or Rachel or sure. Colleen. And so they become sort of these really important ambassadors and y'all have built such an amazing crew and have so many lovely human beings that get to interact with all the fans. And it makes it so easy to be like, hell yeah, I want to go to a Houseplant show. Like, of course I would. If this is who they're surrounding themselves with, like, I need to be there. And so that's really great. I think we've got another one of your family members here, Tommy, who stumbled in. So a lot of raps out here for you. I love it. So for folks that may not be familiar with your music, like where do you send them to get like a crash course in Houseplant and like where should they start their journey to become a succulent? Let us know. Where does it start?
You have to make the journey, the trek to Louisville, Kentucky and come.
Yes.
No, I would send them to YouTube and we were just talking about the crew. Noah does our video and Brian Payne does our audio and a huge part of the Houseplant team. And Yeah, so Noah has all kinds of videos that he has done for us and put up on YouTube, and that's where I would send everybody.
Yeah, y'all can see that scrolling right at the bottom there, youtube.com/@houseplantjam. So definitely check that out. The website is also houseplantjams.com. So definitely check that out as well. But yeah, so start there. And if there was one song that you were like, start with this one, it's the perfect entree. You could each, in fact, let's do the newlywed game with this question. So take, you know, take a minute, write down your answer to this question. What is the first song you would recommend a new potential succulent listen to first? So take a minute. We'll discuss amongst ourselves while you think about it for a second. So yeah, y'all, as I mentioned, we're going to have a couple more bands that are coming on to do this series with us. We're excited. Mr. Please is going to be next. And Chelsea and Hannah caught up with them at summer camp. So really excited to have them on. It's going to be a little while, but eventually we're going to have Dogs in a Pile on, which is going to be really cool, talking to them in the fall. And I got to see a band, shout out to Grady Parks, who lives here in Charlotte, is always texting me to go see shows with him. And so I went to see a show he suggested with Pluto Gang was one I went to. And then Lucas Anderton, shout out to Lucas as well, who put me on to a group called Kendall Street. And we went to see them. And so they're going to come on and do an episode with us. We've lots more cool stuff coming. All right, let's get back to Tommy and Tavis, see how this works out. Okay. So let me think here. I think we'll have to have like Tavis, you put yours up so Tommy can't see. And then Tommy, you say what you think Tavis guessed. And then we'll.
Okay. Am I supposed to close my eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Close your eyes.
All right.
Okay. Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Wait, are we supposed to be guessing the same thing or am I guessing?
No. Guess for yourself, but I want to know.
I wrote down what I thought he was going to say.
Okay, that's perfect then. Okay, so put them both up at the same time.
Okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Let's see. That's so cute. Okay,
it's so funny because Tommy wrote Acetone and I wrote Cashew.
That's so great. All right. So, well, we've got two songs for folks to check out first. So definitely start there and then expand your succulent journey from there. Definitely check out.
Wait. What's the song that goes, talks about beautiful freaks?
That's Freaks.
That's Freaks.
It's called Freaks. Okay. Called Freaks, yeah. I like that one.
That was a new one at New Year's, right? Y'all debuted that one at New Year's, or am I wrong about that?
I think New Year's was the second time we had played it. We debuted it at Zanzibar here in Louisville.
That's right.
Like just a month before that. So
I like that one. It gets stuck in my head.
Yeah. And now there seems to be some choreography that goes along with that song.
Oh, okay.
We need like Colleen and Rachel and them to do
they worked up a dance for it.
Really? I mean, that would be so much fun at Charles' next show. Like, we need Colleen, I know you're in here, Rachel, we need to get like a video going so that way when we all get to the show, you know, that we can do the... We can all do the dance together, you know, like blind lights or white lights, blind light, white lights. Yeah. And how that we have that, we need to do that for y'all show. That'll be awesome.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we've taken up quite a lot of your time this evening. Last question, of course, is like where everyone should follow you. We'll be including all these notes and putting them in the comments and everything, but also where can folks see y'all live in the next couple of months, weeks, et cetera? Like, where are y'all playing and where should we be on the lookout? And is there any new stuff that nobody knows about yet that you want to share?
There are a couple gigs we have not announced yet. And I guess it needs to stay that way.
I can see Colleen being like this. No.
But the ones that have been announced that we are super excited about. The next one is the Goose After Party at the Mercury Ballroom. That's June 22nd.
Ooh.
And then the next one after that is at the Millwood Tavern. It's July 23rd. They do this Sunday service every Sunday in the summer months. It's it's very unique and awesome. Yeah, if you haven't been to a Melwood Sunday service, you need to check one out. It starts at 5 p.m. and it's in this courtyard out right outside Melwood, and it's just a very, very awesome, cool thing. So I'm going to come
because especially with the palace being seated and like not needing to be in line or anything for the goose shows, I'm super. I saw that on your website, which I'm again scrolling across the bottom of the screen, houseplantjams.com/shows. You can see links to buy all tickets, all the shows that y'all have coming up. Including RSVPing for the Sunday service, but I was like, "Ooh, that sounds really fun."
Well, that's the next month.
Oh, that's in July.
July. Yeah. Oh, well, you can stick around in Louisville for a month and hang out.
Well, funny thing, I told you this, Tavis, or you know, like I never thought that Louisville would be one of those states, or Louisville or Kentucky would be one of those states like, oh yeah, I really want to go there. And then last year when we went to Goose and to see Goose and saw y'all play, and then, you know, Ben, now Louisville, and I was like, I could live there. I could move there. If y'all saw the text, they have so much live music going on all the time. The group of them, I have FOMO every week just because of their live music. They're always getting together for, you know, oh, we're going here, we're doing this music here. And I'm just like, man, they've got a music scene going on out there, and they've got such a good little tribe, you know, everyone having a good time. And I'm just like, man, Louisville seems to be the place to be. I mean, y'all have got a lot of musicians, a lot of great musicians coming from there, and just a great live music scene. So everyone knows it's not just Connecticut, you know, Kentucky's working out some awesome musicians and some music that I was just very surprised, pleasantly surprised. And now I want to go back to Louisville all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great music scene down there. So much live music. It's amazing. So, and I also think it's great because one thing I did note was that, like, y'all roll deep outside of Louisville as well. Like, you know,
we have a crew.
It's a crew. You know, it's really amazing. It just goes to show you, like, how much town support you have and how you get to literally bring that on the road with you out to do shows. Also, breaking news, Colleen says that, hold on. There is a tutorial video for dance. So we'll make sure we get that on
our screen. Everybody be prepared.
Be ready. Excellent. Well, anything else you want to share? Tommy, Tavis, thank you again for joining us for our first Going to Turn It Up Some. We're so excited to see y'all in Louisville in just a few weeks. I mean, it's like, 14 days or something? It's kind of pretty quick.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Can we 2 weeks from tonight. Colleen,
say hey, Colleen, because she does so much. She's amazing. Colleen. Everyone, see Colleen. Say hey.
She's out on the patio watching the stream, so like she can hear us. Colleen, while she's coming in,
he moved to Louisville at the start of the year, and he has zero regrets. So there you go.
Yeah. And he was in Colorado, absolutely beautiful Colorado. And Zach moves, yay, you know, and so yes.
Hey, Colleen.
Everyone, this is the amazing Colleen. She is not even just the houseplant crew. Colleen is amazing in everything. She's the one who keeps us all, you know, going and ready to go. And
she definitely keeps us going, for
nicest,
sure.
She keeps all of us going, and the nicest, peppiest. I don't even know how she does it half the time. We'll all be stressed out. And here's Colleen just bouncing, you know, and just so and keeping us, you know, okay, guys, it's all right. We're stressed out, but we're good. We're ready to go. So love you, Colleen, bunches. And thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, and everything you did to make this happen. So just so y'all know, we wouldn't have Tommy and Tavis here. Colleen was in the background. Everybody showed up and everybody had everything they needed. So yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
She keeps us organized.
It's my superpower.
We love you, girl. We can't wait to see you in a few weeks. All right. So again, make sure y'all go to the link that's going on the bottom, houseplantjams.com/shows, and check out the show. shows that are coming up. And if you're going to see Goose in Louisville in 2 weeks, get your tickets to the after party. It's going to be a really great time. I'm super excited about it. It's going to be amazing. And we get to see. So what's the most recent new song that y'all have put out or debuted on stage recently?
We have quite a few fresh ones that have not been played yet.
Freshies.
And freshies. I'm super excited about these new ones coming up. But our newest one that we have debuted, so we have three new ones that we have played so far. Little Sparrow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which one's the newest and whatever. We started working on Little Sparrow, and it's been played a couple times. There Lives a Man, which opens up the Dome Fest set. That's pretty brand new. I think been played twice. And then Crimson Bricks has been played only once, and it was at a private, like, basement show that we played. So most people haven't heard that one. So,
so you can hear those in Louisville, hopefully, one or two.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick logistical question? So I was serious about trying to see a show. Me and my sister are, like, in the chat, like, trying to plan it out. And for the July 23rd show, there's no button for tickets. It just says RSVP. Do you... what's the deal with the tickets for that show? Do we know?
Oh, so for the Melwood show.
For Sunday service, yeah.
Yeah. So I think closer to the date of that, there may be, it won't be Ticketmaster. It won't be Access. It won't be anything. I think what Melwood does is maybe E-Tix, or it'll be a smaller platform, but that'll probably show up a little closer to the date.
Excellent. Well, sounds cool. I hope you do get to get up there, and I'm sure your sister would love that, Hannah. So that sounds pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Well, again, thanks y'all for joining us. I'm going to just put a little bit of Freaks on since Chelsea requested it. It's one of my faves too, got to say. Here we go. And this one actually is from New Year's Eve.
I just love this song.
It's a true story.
Yeah, it's about all y'all. About everybody. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Tomorrow.
I love you more. Right. And all I see
It's so fun to watch that video and see, like, you know, all my favorite beautiful freaks, you know, right there. I was just like, oh, this is perfect. Brings that happy vibe and a much excitement for just 2 weeks to see y'all.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love that song. Almost, I will say, like, had sort of like a prog rock sort of vibe to it. You know what I mean? So I, that's one of the things that you all said you take from so many different genres, and you can hear that difference. You know, the, I played Monstera earlier at the top of the show, and the difference between that and this is like, you can tell that, like, there's a wide gamut. And so there's a Houseplant song out there ready to grab you. So jump in and start your succulent journey now before it's too late. Actually, it's never too late. You're always right on time when you show up. thank y'all again for joining us. We're so
thank
grateful.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks. I'll see you.
Yeah, can't wait.
We love you guys. Bye.
I'm actually texting Colleen right now about that show. Like, me and my sister are like, we're like in it. We're like, we're going to this damn show.
Oh, definitely don't miss it. They are, and I was not lying because they're my friends and they're right here. They legit are, you know, are awesome. You always have those friends who are like, oh yeah, you got to come check this out. They legitly are awesome, and you definitely need to check them out and grab your tickets, because I'm sure as we get closer, like New Year's Eve, I think sold out, you know, a week or two, or 2 weeks, 3 weeks before. And with this venue being bigger, like, grab your tickets. You don't want to be the person that's like, are you getting rid of your tickets? Are you,
because that's what everyone's like, they're jamming. You can't have it. Like, that's what I kept getting at. Well, thank y'all also for joining us. This show will be up on our regular feed next week. So if you want to just listen to it, you'll be able to. If you didn't catch it live, you can also watch it on people here on our YouTube channel or on Twitter. And of course, as always, follow us on all of our social medias. Hold on. Where is it? I had it up here.
Be sure to like and follow.
Oh, yeah, yes. So check all of our episodes out, goosechickspod.com/episodes. You can check all of our shows out. We had some really cool ones just recently. And again, we also have a new series in addition to this one called Into the Fest. We're doing some deep dives into some music festivals this summer. I'm starting with Summer Camp, which is actually going to end up being 3 episodes of shows. And so, yeah, the first one will be hitting not next week, but the week after that. Actually, next Friday, so a week from tomorrow, with Chelsea and I, with some interviews. They're really good and very funny, and you guys will really love it. So definitely check that out. And follow us on all of our socials. It's just Goose Chicks Pod. Everywhere that you are, we are. And just search Goose Chicks Podcast on socials. Let's see. What else do I have to say? I think that's it. I'm going to end with a quick plug for Western Sun Foundation. And we'll be out of here. All right, here we go. Awesome. Have a good night, y'all.
Stay tuned. Western Sun Foundation recently launched their next charitable giving campaign, benefiting Girls Rock Detroit, a nonprofit dedicated to fostering creative expression, positive self-esteem, and community awareness for girls, women, gender expansive, and transgender youth through social justice, music education, activism, and performance. Girls Rock Detroit will be holding their annual summer camp program in July, and Western Sun Foundation's fundraising will help support this important program. Let's hear a little bit more about what Girls Rock Detroit Summer Camp is all about.
Rock! Girls! Rock! Girls! Rock! Girls! Rock! Rock!
Rock! Girls Rock Detroit is an organization that promotes community and creativity and empowerment. It gives young people the tools to express themselves, to understand the world that we live in, which is a complicated world. And there's, you know, they learn a lot of tools in school, but I feel like art and music is another set of languages that helps them express themselves in different ways.
I think the Girls Rock Camp program is very unique. I have never seen any other type of camp programming like it. Some of the most special things about our camp is that they are mentored by a community of all women, gender nonconforming, and trans volunteers. Additionally, what is cool about the camp is you don't need any experience. And, you know, a girl comes in day one and has never touched a guitar before. And then by day six, she's on stage performing with her band. Most people hear about what we do at Girls Rock Camp and they think it's impossible. I've even heard from some of the volunteers who said, I just wanted to volunteer because I wanted to see you all pull this off.
You can support Western Sun Foundation's campaign and help them reach their fundraising goal of $3,000 by making a monetary donation. Everyone who donates will be entered into a raffle for a chance to win some great prizes, including two tickets to an upcoming Goose Show, fan artist packages, and more. Every $10 donated equals one entry into the raffle. The campaign closes on June 27th at midnight, so don't miss it. This is the final campaign of Western Sun Foundation's inaugural year, and they are hoping to go out with a bang and show this small but important local organization just how supportive our Goose community can be. Donations can be made by visiting westernsunfoundation.org or clicking the link to Western Sun Foundation's Linktree on any of their social media pages. Please help if you can. Every donation makes a difference.
Osiris.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today, such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts. And new episodes come out every Monday.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.